Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. We'll study that together for a few minutes in just a moment. But before we do that, we do have a class for children up to about age 5. If any parents would like to take advantage of that, you can bring your child to the lobby at this time. Someone will be glad to help you. We appreciate everybody being here today. So thankful for your presence. And hope you're comfortable with us. If you are visiting, we invite you to come back anytime. We have a class for men on Tuesday nights at 7:30. We'll be meeting here. And then also Wednesday night, we have our regular Bible classes for all ages at 7 o'clock. And so everybody's invited to come back at that time as well. I want to spend just a few minutes this morning talking about this idea of husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. There was a really interesting article in the news this week, and I'm sure some of you saw it. We talked about it in our Bible class today. And it talked about how for the first time in American history, and specifically since they kept these statistics, they determined that there are more single people in America today than there are married people, right? Did everybody see that? Interesting study. They said there's 124.6 million Americans over the age of 16. And as of August, 50.2% of those are single. Now let me correct that. Actually, it's 124.6 single over the age of 16. But the point is 50.2%. Now, they kept this statistic since 1976. Going back to 1976, the same group, it was 37.4% were single of adult Americans over the age of 16. I don't know why they go down to 16, because not many married people 16, 17 years old, but that's the group that they used. In 1976, it was 37.4% were single. And as of August, this past August, last month, it's just over 50%, 50.2%. And so there's more single people. And there's this definite trend. There's more single people than there are married people. And so, interesting news, interesting survey, a lot of questions about why. Is it good or is it bad? You know, one question we might ask is, you know, why are there fewer? But let me say, before we get to that, open your Bible, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I want to make this very clear that that's not necessarily a bad thing to be single. The Apostle Paul, in fact, he recommended that in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And verse 7. And actually, they came up with a name for this group. Did anyone catch that? What are they called? I'm sorry? Well, I guess not many people were following this story like I was. They're called selfies, okay? Selfies. And so what we're going to see here is that Paul was a selfie. Verse 7, he says, I wish all men were like myself, but each one has his own gift from God, one in that manner and another in this. But I say to the married and to the widows, it's good for them to remain even as I. For if they cannot exercise self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than it is to burn. But he says, it's good for them to remain as I am. I wish that all men, Paul says, were like me. So there's nothing wrong, you know, with being single. But the interesting question is, like you saw there just a moment ago, why? Why is it that people are choosing to be single? Because Paul's reason is really quite different, I think, from what you would see are the common reasons today. Skip down, if you would, in 1 Corinthians 7, continuing. And look what Paul said about this in verse 32. Why did Paul recommend it? He said, I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he can please the Lord. But he who is married cares about things of the what? The world, how he can please his wife. And he's not saying it's wrong to do that. He's just saying you have this obligation. Continuing on, he says, he who is married, or verse 34, there's a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she can please her husband. You know, if I was writing this, I don't know that I would have said it that way, because it sounds like he's saying it's a bad thing. You care about the things of the world, how you can please your husband. But that's her obligation, and that's his obligation, to care for his wife. But he's saying, compared to serving the Lord, the single person is free. He says you can serve the Lord without distraction. And so he recommends that. He also recommended it because he said there were times of persecution. And it would be easier if you do not have a wife and do not have children to worry about and to have to care for through a time when Christians are being put to death. That's why Paul recommended singlehood. And really he implies there we have an obligation if we are married, and it's good. It's our duty as Christians. We cannot focus on the Lord the way a single person could, and God wouldn't want us to, because we have obligations as husbands and wives. Why are fewer people getting married? I'm going to share several quotes from articles and interviews in the news stories responding to that survey this week. A sociologist professor from NYU said marriage rates are going down all over the developed world as people experiment with new ways to organize their lives and relationships. I'm sure that doesn't surprise us. People are trying different ways than the traditional ways that life was lived. I think we can also see, as we look at that, that we see people are not trusting in God or not really having the faith in the Bible that they used to have. And so they feel free to try different things in different ways. Someone said Americans are still getting together, they're just not racing down the aisle. Just because people are not getting married doesn't mean they're not partnering and cohabitating. And so we need to make the point here that there's nothing wrong with being single, but there is something wrong with whatever they mean by partnering and cohabitating in a relationship where you have a sexual relationship with someone that you are not married to. Once again, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and notice how Paul actually began this discussion. Verse 1, concerning the things you wrote to me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman. Again, I don't know that I would have worded it that way. Some versions say it's good for a man not to have sexual relationships with a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, he says, let each man have his own wife and let each woman have her own husband. And so that scripture establishes that because of sexual immorality, the way to fulfill those desires is within a marriage. Let each man have his own wife. Let each woman have her own husband. That's the legitimate outlet for sexual relationships according to the scriptures. And so this doesn't surprise us at all. And this is what we know is happening in our world. Even people who claim to be Christians, you know, living together before marriage or having no intention of getting married. One man said monogamy is not doable for most people. Again, that doesn't surprise us. Our sexual morality is not doable. Being celibate. And I think we have to disagree with that. That's what God commanded us to do. It may not be popular, but it just kind of shows the trends of our culture. You know, that this is the way people think today. And really it shows a disregard for the Bible. And really no respect for God's word. Someone said, I'd rather see more single people than more unhappily married people. You know, it's like there's only two choices. You can either be single or you can be unhappily married. There's a third choice out there, isn't there? But so many people are unhappy, and people see that. I don't want to go down that road, they say. Why go through something that's likely? They see their parents, and they see their friends, and they see all the heartbreak. Why go through something that's likely to end in divorce? Well, it doesn't have to end in divorce, does it? That's not the only way, you know, the outcome of a marriage can be. But that's kind of the culture again. No husband's better than a husband who drinks and cheats and beats his wife. I agree. Everybody agree with that? But do husbands have to drink and cheat and beat their wives? No. You know, and there's a lot of people who would want to get married, and maybe would our culture would think of marriage in a better light if people did you know, treat their spouses the way the Bible says that they ought to be treated. And there are people who would get married if they could find someone who was committed to God the way they are committed to God. But there aren't many people committed to God that way. Or if they could find, if they're committed to purity, they would like to find someone who is pure. And even though there's more single people today than there are married people, you know, sometimes it's hard to find. And so that's why I want to talk about this scripture. Love your wives like Christ loved the church. And just talk to the men for just a moment about, you know, the type of men that we ought to be. Because there's some cultures where men have no clue whatsoever about how the Bible says husbands ought to treat their wives. And I think American culture, maybe, you know, is becoming more and more that way. What does the Bible say about it? Let's turn to that scripture in Ephesians chapter 5 and read about it. So this is the kind of man that we as husbands ought to be. And I guess for women, this is the kind of man, you know, that you should want to marry someday. And the key phrase is, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. If you think you might get married someday, you know, try to find a husband like this. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. So again, the key idea, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. What the Apostle Paul does when he wants to teach husbands how to be a good husband is he compares it to Jesus and the attitude and the love that Jesus had that led him to die on the cross for our sins. When we study the cross, now we're learning about so many different things about our life, but one of the things is it teaching us how to be a good husband, teaching me how to be a good husband. He says, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's our model for what it means to be a good husband. Three things. Number one, why? Why did Jesus do this? And it's because he loved mankind, but what does it say in the text? It says that he might sanctify and cleanse her, right? Let's read that again. Ephesians chapter 5. Why did Jesus? What did he hope to accomplish? What was he thinking when he died? That he might sanctify and cleanse the church with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. That's what Jesus was hoping for the church when he died for the church. Well, what does that mean for husbands? Well, it talks about that he might sanctify. That means to make holy and cleanse. Cleanse from sin. And I think we all know that as husbands, there's no way that we can do anything to make our wives holy or to cleanse them from their sin. There's nothing we do to reconcile any other person to God. But I think what it's saying, you know, is that Jesus gave the church what it needed the most. And I think one specific application we can make to ourselves is if it was that important to Christ, you know, when we think about taking care of our wives, you know, number one of all of our priorities ought to be to help them be holy and to help them be cleansed of their sin. Because basically what our job is to do is to protect and to be willing to sacrifice ourselves, you know, not be selfish, but deny our selfish desires and make unselfish sacrifices to protect our spouses. But number one in the list of what does it mean to protect is to help them be holy, to help them be cleansed from sin, to help them be a good Christian. I think that's the greatest thing that can be said for a husband is he helped his wife be a better Christian, because there's no greater need than that. Is that not correct? And that's why Jesus died. And so we need to, you know, be unselfish, make sacrifices for the spiritual needs of our wife and our families. And it goes on to talk about it. It says, present her to himself, a glorious church. You know, that's the idea that, you know, Christians, sinners, are made beautiful through Jesus and glorious, no spots, no wrinkles. but holy and without blemish. And I think that that challenges us as husbands to make our wives glorious, to think about what they need, about what they want, about what they desire, about what makes them feel good about themselves. Not in any way ever, you know, compromising right or wrong. That's covered in being holy and cleansed. But Jesus, you know, wants to make us beautiful. He wants to make us happy. He wants to make us, you know, fulfilled. And it's an example for husbands. That should be a great desire in our heart to care about this person and to want them go to heaven and to help them be a happy person and fulfilled and see their dreams come to pass. And so, not that we always give up any person anything that they ask for, but rather than live selfishly for ourselves, that's what the example of Jesus teaches us. Number two, I think we can say that, you know, it was not easy for Jesus to die on the cross. Obviously, it was not easy to go and to die on the cross. But he was willing to obey God. And really what the cross was an act of obedience. Relationships are not easy. It's never easy. You know, no one who's been married for any length of time would tell you that marriage is always smooth and always easy. And so the point is, if we're going to love our wives like Christ loved the church, there's going to be tough times when it's not easy and we don't feel like sacrificing ourselves and loving the way that we should. But it's never a matter of what do we feel like. It's a matter of what has God told us to do. And God commanded husbands to love their wives. It's really interesting when you go to 1 Corinthians 13 and read that great definition of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The first thing he says is that love does what? Does anyone know? Number one, it suffers long. See, and that just destroys this idea that being in love with someone and having a loving relationship is just always going to be wonderful. What true love is, it means being willing to do things that aren't easy at times and to deny ourselves. And so it was not easy, but Jesus obeyed God. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. It's not always easy, you know, to put others first or to make the right decisions. To be unselfish is never easy. But God has commanded us to love our wives like Christ loved the church. So is marriage easy? No, it's not. But we're supposed to obey God. We're supposed to do what God has told us to do. And then finally, one last point, and that is, so what was the result of Jesus dying for the cross, or dying for the church? You know, in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19, it says, we love him because he first loved us. And so the effect of Jesus coming, you know, and obeying the Father and dying was that people saw what he did for them, and we love him in return. We love him because he first loved us. The point I want to make here is that, you know, marriage is not always easy, but the best thing that we can do to help our spouse become the person that they ought to be, if perhaps at times we feel they need to change, is to just do what God has told us to do. If we love them like Christ loved the church, I mean, what woman, I suppose I can ask this question, I don't know how women think completely, but who would not be attracted to someone who's willing to lay down their life, you know, for your ultimate good? That's what the Bible says husbands ought to do. Be willing to sacrifice yourself to be sure that person, you know, is secure and comfortable. And you know that more than anything else, they want you to go to heaven. And they're willing to sacrifice themselves for that. And I really believe if we, and I confess failure, but if we treat our wives that way, just like this says, they will love us more. They'll appreciate us more. They're not going to despise a person who is willing to do that for them. So, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. That's the example of marriage that we're to follow. I'm thinking about maybe next week talking about this from the wife's point of view. I really am uncomfortable doing that because just a lot of reasons, I guess. Number one, because I'm not a woman. And I feel more comfortable talking to myself and admitting my own failures, and I don't want to, you know, appear to be pointing fingers at anyone, any of the good women in our congregation. But if this lesson was worthwhile, perhaps that would be worthwhile as well. One of the reasons why there's so many single people is because, you know, there are people who are looking for someone who's real and genuine and who cares for them, and it's just not out there. The culture isn't providing that. We're talking in our Peter class about how, you know, this culture war, it's like we've lost it. Fewer and fewer people who believe in God. We need to not shy away from the things that God has told us to do. And this is how God told husbands to love their wives. Thanks for listening to our lesson this morning. We're going to sing this song as an invitation this morning. Do You Know My Jesus? This is what the world is missing. Do you know about Jesus, about His love? It is the example of all of our relationships. Do you know our friend? Have you heard that He loves you and He will abide till the end? No human relationships are perfect. We're all flawed and we make mistakes. We need to keep trying to be like Jesus. But Jesus is a friend who loves us completely, who will never let us down, and He will be with us and be by our side no matter what we go through in life to the very end. And if we have that, really we have all we need. And the way we have that, of course, is through accepting this great gift that He's given through His death on the cross, and turning from our sins like we talked about a few moments ago, obeying Jesus by being baptized into Christ, and then being determined to follow Him and to live like Him all the days of our life. And husbands, that means for us sacrificing ourselves to protect and take care of our wives. If there's anyone here this morning who needs the help of the church in any way, we sing this song for you. Invite you to come forward now and make that known as we stand and sing at this time. Let's all stand.